In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Today is the first Sunday of the month. And as we have been doing, I offer a teaching sermon on a topic that is more practical to our faith. And it's also in a very special day because it is one of the major feasts of the Lord, and that is the presentation of the Lord to the temple that we just read, that we just heard about in the gospel. And these two people who are so memorable, Simeon and Anna, both of them advanced in age, and both of them devout people, full of faith and prayer, spending all their time with God in the temple, waiting for consolation. That was a key word, waiting for consolation. And that consolation they were waiting for was Christ, the Messiah. And as you heard, Simeon was told by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he saw the Christ. And this is the day we celebrate today, this event of Christ coming to his own temple. The lawgiver coming into his own temple. So it's a very important feast day. But this idea of consolation is related to what I want to speak about today. And that is the sacrament of holy confession. This is a very big topic. So I'm going to talk about it a little bit today and then again next month. There's a lot of things we do in our church that we know how to do. We know how to make the sign of the cross. We know how to sing in the liturgy. We know how to make artoklasia and prosphora. We know a lot of things, and that's beautiful and good. But I think sometimes we don't know why we are doing these things. Why? Why are you here today? Why did we make artoklasia? Why do we make the sign of the cross? Why do we receive communion? It's easy to forget the reasons, especially if you were born into the faith as a child. So it's important, I think, that we remember and we learn, if we don't know yet, why. Why we do the things we do. And only then will we have a deeper understanding of our faith and our worship, and thereby a deeper understanding of God. So today I want to speak a little bit about confession. The sacrament of confession is perhaps the most neglected and most misunderstood of the sacraments, of the many sacraments that we have. Holy Communion, Holy Unction, marriage, these are all sacraments. Yet confession is one that's sort of really fallen out of favor and fallen out of practice. And I think it's because of misunderstanding of what it is and fear of what it may be, of the experience. There are people who've never been to confession, and there are people who go to confession all the time. It's really important to dispel the myths a little bit, and that's my intent in this talk, in this presentation. First of all, confession is biblical, and it is required. It is not optional. It is biblical. If it's biblical, then it is required. It is not optional. And when I say it's biblical, I don't mean it's just written in the Bible, but it was spoken and mandated and commanded by Christ himself. After his resurrection, he appears to his disciples, and he breathes on them, and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. At that moment, Christ is ordaining his apostles and giving them the power and authority to forgive sins. It is not the apostles who are going to be forgiving sins, but it is Christ. It is God alone who forgives sins through the apostles. And so now the apostles, of course, were the first bishops. They later on ordained other priests, and this is what we call the apostolic succession. In other words, every bishop of the Orthodox Church, every priest, can trace his ordination, his lineage, back to one of the apostles. That authority that was given to the apostles is also given to the priests and bishops through their ordination. If you forgive the sins of any, in other words, Christ is already establishing the sacrament of confession and enabling, empowering the apostles, and through them the bishops and the priests, to be the manner through which a man and a woman, a person, can be forgiven. Later on, we see in the gospel, in the epistle of James, he says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. And here's the key word, that you may be healed. Confession is connected to healing. And this idea of healing is very early. In fact, the church fathers speak of the church as a hospital. The church is often depicted by the church fathers as a hospital. Now, those of you who've been to a hospital, what is there in a hospital? What do you have there? Well, first of all, you have sick people. You have doctors. You have medicine. Even surgeries are performed. And healing takes place. Sick people, doctors, surgeries, medicine, and healing all take place in a hospital. In the same way, the church is seen and depicted and understood as a hospital. The sickness is sin. Sin is a sickness. It is an illness. That God doesn't want to punish us for. He wants to heal us from. Sin, it needs to be healed, not punished. That's like adding salt to the wound to be punished for a sin. No, he wants to heal it. He wants to heal us. But before he can do that, just as before you can be healed, let's say one of you or I have an illness. I have, I don't know, a tumor in my somewhere in my body, and I could feel it. It feels like a big hard lump. What do? I go to the doctor, and he examines it. And what does he say? We need to operate. I need to cut this open and extract the tumor and clean it out. So what happened there? Just like in my own spiritual life, when I realize I've done something wrong, I've committed a sin, because the Holy Spirit is in me, because I know God and I fear God, I feel sick. I feel like I need to get this off my chest. I could carry it for years and years, or I can say, this tumor I need to get rid of. This illness, this sin, this mistake I made, I want to be free from. So I come to the doctor. And just like a doctor in a hospital is going to ask me questions about it, I'm going to tell him about it. I'm going to say, yeah, this is my problem. And then he's going to say, we need to operate. Confession is the exact same thing. Confession is realizing that you've committed a sin. You've made a mistake. You're acknowledging that. And then you're coming to the doctor, who is Christ Himself, the great physician. And confession is a surgery. It's that first incision to clean out the sin, to clean out that tumor that we've been holding on to, that's been festering, that's been harming us, that needs to leave us in order for us to be restored and healthy and whole. So this is the idea of confession, coming to the doctor and having ourselves freed and cleansed by acknowledging verbally before God, in the presence of a priest, what God already knows. And this is the great, I think, kind of almost comical thing we do. When we make a mistake, we think no one noticed, no one saw it. But you know that God saw it. God sees everything. So either we believe that God exists, and if He exists and He's God, clearly He sees everything. Or we don't believe that God exists. It's either or. We can't have both. And God is telling us, I know that you know that I know. And all He wants us to say is, I know. And then we come to Him. And what does He do? Again, when we go to the doctor, does the doctor hit us over the head and send us to jail or send us to prison? No. He welcomes us. He talks to us. He finds out what happened. And we tell him, it hurts here. And he says, I'll take care of you. And he does. And we find healing and not condemnation or judgment. In other words, the church is not a court of law, as St. John Chrysostom said, but a hospital. And now that we've done the surgery, usually you also need some medication afterwards to really bring you back to health, to really restore you. Holy Communion is that medicine of immortality, as Saint Ignatius of Antioch called it in the first century. The medicine of immortality. So having had the surgery, having been cleansed and rooted out my sin by confessing it verbally to God in the presence of a priest, the priest has been given the authority by Christ to say the prayer of absolution, which is a special prayer said only during the confession. And at that moment, if the person has given a full and complete confession, holding nothing back, the soul of that person is cleansed and becomes as white as the brightest light you can ever imagine. It is as if that person was just baptized again anew. And now he goes and the confession is further sealed and glorified. He receives Holy Communion and is sanctified fully by Christ's holy body and blood. So, what are the misunderstandings? Well, I think a lot of people misunderstand when we should confess and why we should confess, and also how a little bit. Some people think I should only confess when I want to take communion. That's a bit of an incorrect understanding. Because clearly, we sin all the time. One saint believed that it's very difficult for a human being to go 1 hour without sinning. In some way, in your mind, with your words, by actions. So we have a propensity to sin very frequently. And if that's the case, we need to confess frequently. Not just once a year, so that we can take communion. This is a misunderstanding. It is very foreign to the practice of the early church. That it's something we've created out of our own ideas and habits. Confession should occur very frequently. And by frequently, once a month is what I mean, at least. Once a month. And some people will confess before every time they receive communion, and they receive communion every Sunday. Why is that important to confess frequently? Well, as I mentioned, yes, we sin frequently, but it keeps us accountable. Because if I put it off and say, I'm going to confess before Pascha, I'm kind of taking myself off the hook for the whole year. I'll do whatever I want and I'll say, I'm going to confess later. Well, what happens if that later doesn't come? And God forbid something happens to us and we die unexpectedly without having confessed. Then it's too late. That is why we confess frequently. Because we are acknowledging that our life is so fragile. At any moment, if it's God's will, we can be in the next life standing before God. By confessing frequently, we remember that, we acknowledge that. It becomes part of our psyche and understanding of my life. I need to be ready. I need to be prepared. So it's not the fear of death, but it's the fear of standing unworthy before my Heavenly Father who loves me. And there's no sin that He will not forgive. Nothing you've done, nothing is greater than His love and His compassion. And we all know who wants to keep us from confession. We all know who wants to keep us from being healed. We all know who wants to keep us away from the sacraments. The same person, the same being who led us into that sin. And this is what he does. This is what the devil does. He tells us it's okay to commit this sin. He kind of encourages it. He influences it. He tempts us to it. We commit the sin. And then what happens? Immediately after, he makes us feel shame, guilty, embarrassed, and he says, don't go to the priest. It's embarrassing. You see how easily we are deceived? And that's what keeps us from confession, embarrassment. And as one church father says, we should not be embarrassed so much as when we commit the sin, but embarrassed that we are not accepting Christ's offer of forgiveness. Christ is waiting with open arms to forgive us, to love us, and to heal us. And yet we don't take advantage of that because we are embarrassed. Another reason why people may put off confession is they're embarrassed to be in the presence of a priest and for the priest to hear the sin. Now, first of all, during a confession, the priest stands next to the person confessing the sins. He is only a witness. The person is confessing to Christ. He is speaking to Christ. And the priest is there as a witness that, yes, indeed, this person confessed these sins, so that on the day of judgment, he can vouch for that person. Yes, I heard that confession. And the priest is praying during the confession for the person. The priest loves the person who is confessing, trying to help the person who is confessing. He's not there to condemn or judge the person. And most priests have heard every possible sin you can imagine. So you're not going to shock the priest with your confession. The priests have heard everything. So another reason not to think that somehow you're special and your sin is the greatest of all. Some people prefer to go to a monastery to confess, again, because they might be embarrassed and they worry about what the priest will think of them after the fact. And so they go to a monastery. My personal belief is that is okay, as long as you always go to that same monastery and always go to that same spiritual father there and not hop around to different priests and spiritual fathers and monasteries because you don't want the previous priest to see, you know, to hear that you made the same mistake again. And so you're kind of running away and deceiving the priests. That's a no-no. If you're going to go to the monastery, go to the monastery. If you have a spiritual father there, but go there frequently. And if you go to the one priest, stay with that priest. Don't try to evade him by sort of going to others. That is not a healthy practice and actually very harmful. So that was a basic introduction of why we go to confession, what it does for us. And next time, I will talk more about how to prepare yourself for confession, how to really examine your soul and mind and heart. Because a lot of people will come to confession and say, "Father, I have nothing to confess. I don't know what to say. I have nothing to confess. I'm a good person." And yeah, that's a good thing. I'm glad you have nothing major to confess. But still, there's an illness in us. You all know that they say that, you know, we all have cancer in us, right? That's what they say. It's only a matter of time that it might erupt based on our diet or DNA or whatever, genetics. Well, it's the same thing with sin. We're so predisposed to it. And there's something really, something in us, all of us. It's different for different people, but it's there. And we need to identify it. And by preparing for confession, you can do that. And so when you come, you can really have a thorough and complete confession, rooting out again, cleaning out whatever it is that is in us that is keeping us from becoming the person that God wants us to become. Glory to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.